welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program via remote. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, September 3rd, 2021. Health officials in South Sudan say they are witnessing huge turnouts at COVID-19 vaccination centers.
The first day we were registered 384, but yesterday we are able to reach up to 584.
And doctors at Rombek Hospital say many children succumb to malaria because they are brought to the facility very late.
My son vomits and he had diarrhea and too much fever for 3 days. I ignored it because I thought the fever and headache were caused by the growing teeth in the mouth.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Health officials began the second round of COVID-19 vaccinations in South Sudan after the country ran out of doses in July. The team leader of the COVID-19 vaccination center at Juba Teaching Hospital says the number of people lining up for vaccination has been increasing this week. For VOA News, Winnie Chirino reports from Juba.
About 700 are waiting in a big hall at Juba Teaching Hospital to get the COVID-19 vaccine. Albino Bully, the team lead reporter for the COVID-19 vaccination center at Juba Teaching Hospital, says the number of people turning up for the job has steadily increased since the second round of vaccinations got underway 2 days ago.
The first day we were registered 384, but yesterday we are able to reach up to 584. So every day we have an increase of many clients and we are ready to serve them.
Police says previously when South Sudan's first phase of COVID-19 vaccinations began in April, few people turned up to get the job. But he believes people learned that the vaccine is not as bad as they thought.
For the first time they were saying that this vaccine is not good. But a little bit they got to understand that this vaccine is protected. And for those who are receiving since the last previous months, they are healthy, they are good people. They are saying that this vaccine is okay. We don't get any challenges, and that is why you know our client now, they are turning out to come and get this vaccine.
Bully is calling on government officials to visit vaccination centers and observe some of the challenges the centers are facing so they can work on addressing them earlier.
I say it's not enough. You see the client is standing, and another reason is that we others lost cards. We need to renew for them. And sometimes, like yesterday, the vaccine got finished before time, and we request, and then people are waiting. You see, these are another factors of challenges. But we already brought more doses.
Betty Letty, a humanitarian worker who prefers not to mention the name of her organization for fear of reprisals, says she did not want to take the first vaccine because of controversial theories about the vaccine. But she says after time it became mandatory at her workplace that staff either get vaccinated or face the consequences of the office's decisions. Letty says after getting the first dose, she was anxious about getting the second shot.
First of all, I didn't want it to get finished before I get the second dose. And again, there has been restrictions in movement for people who have not vaccinated. In some countries, you go, they need, when you're fully vaccinated or you have the COVID vaccine certificate. I travel a lot. Maybe I would want to go somewhere else and I will not be able to go. Yeah, so me, that's why I came to get the vaccine.
Letty says she finds it hard to advise people to take the vaccine because some people believe the vaccinated are waiting for those who have not been vaccinated to die, while others believe that those who have not been vaccinated are waiting for those who are vaccinated to die. 44-year-old Taban Awad, who just received his second dose of the vaccine, says he rushed to the hospital to get his second shot because he was supposed to get it more than 2 weeks ago.
I came because I was supposed to get my second dose on the 14th of August. When I came, I found it was finished. When I heard of the radio that the vaccine has been brought, immediately I came because the vaccine is important in my life. It is important too because I cannot transfer the sickness to other people.
South Sudan received 59,200 doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine on Tuesday. The country is expected to receive more vaccines later this month. For VOA News, I am Winnie Serino in Juba.
Still on COVID, the World Health Organization says Africa will fail to reach the global target of vaccinating 10% of vulnerable populations against COVID-19 in every country by the end of September. For VOA News, Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
WHO's regional director for Africa, Matshidiso Moeti, blames the situation on what she says is the hoarding of life-saving vaccines by the world's wealthier countries. She notes African countries have received more than 143 million doses and inoculated 39 million people, or less than 3% of the continent's population. This, she says, compares to more than 50% in the European Union and United States.
Equally concerning is a continuing inequity in the distribution of doses. Africa accounts for just 2% over the 5 billion of the over 5 billion doses given globally. This percentage, I'm afraid, hasn't shifted in months. If the current trends hold, 42 of Africa's 54 countries, nearly 80%, are set to miss the September target, I'm afraid.
Africa's third wave of the coronavirus peaked in July. However, WHO reports 24 of Africa's 54 countries are still reporting high or fast-rising case numbers. The situation is particularly acute in West, Central, and East Africa. The latest WHO figures put the number of coronavirus infections at nearly 8 million, with more than 214,000 new cases reported this past week. Of the 196,000 Africans who have died from this infection, more than 5,500 lost their lives last week. Moeti says the pandemic is still raging on the continent, noting every hour 26 Africans die of COVID-19, the illness caused by the coronavirus. She warns people must not let down their guard, as they remain at risk of becoming severely ill or dying if vaccination rates remain low.
With concerns about variants and political pressures driving the introduction of booster shots, and countries with high vaccination rates expanding their rollouts to reach lower risk groups, our hope for global vaccine equity is once again being challenged.
Moeti says she's encouraged the pace of vaccine shipments to Africa is picking up, but adds dose sharing arrangements must continue to be improved. She says international solidarity remains key to the global recovery from this pandemic. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Health officials in Lake State capital Rumbek say many children aged 10 and below have died at the Rumbek State Hospital in the last 2 months. The hospital's medical director says many children are dying from diseases because parents take too long to bring them to the facility for treatment. For VOA News, William Sandemabor reports from Rumbek.
18-year-old Akol Majok, whose 2-year-old child has been admitted at Rumbek State Hospital, says his son began feeling ill 3 days ago. Majok says she first ignored the symptoms because in her community, people believe that when a child grows teeth, it is normal for a child to get fever and headache.
My son vomits and he had diarrhea and too much fever for 3 days. I ignore it because I thought the fever and headache were caused by the growing teeth in the mouth. So when it became too much, I came from the village to the hospital. He was admitted. If the doctors treat my son, I will appreciate it so that he becomes healthy again.
Dr. Teran Madin Teran, the medical director at Rumbek State Hospital, says 44 children have died from malaria in July and August.
In August, the total number of deaths is 30 in the whole hospital. In these 30 deaths, children are the most leading group. Children are dying because of malaria, and perhaps malaria is not the direct cause, but it can be secondary to anemia. Anemia, as we know, itself is not a disease, but it comes as a complication of other things.
In July, 14 children died from malaria, according to Dr. Teran. He says the increasing number of malaria patients have forced the hospital medical workers to admit some patients outside the wards on the veranda.
Most of the patients are outside hanging on the verandas and under the trees, not because of the hotness, but the fullness and the crowdness of the ward itself. And being exposed outside, besides all these grasses whereby we can simply get mosquitoes.
Rumbek State Hospital Administrator Mawan Bolmadet says between 80 to 100 patients, most of whom are children, are diagnosed with malaria every day at the hospital.
Mostly, this malaria outbreak is affecting the children so much, so it is outbreak of the malaria. Now, as I speak to you, when you go to the pediatric ward, it is full, over 500 plus admitted as children has been admitted, and sometimes we also used to discharge like 100, and even sometimes we can even reach 160, we can discharge a day. So it is a serious disease.
Madit says medical workers are working around the clock to treat patients admitted at the hospital. He says apart from treating patients, his team is creating awareness in neighboring communities on how to prevent malaria.
I'm now dealing with my people in the hospital here, mostly nurses and the midwife in the hospital here who are taking care of the patients. And also at the same time, we are also doing health education to them. When we discharge a child, we can give them a health education so that they can go and apply that home there. Like health education we give to the mother or the father, that when you go home, you keep your child to sleep in mosquito net. Also, you also clean the bushes around near you there so that mosquito cannot be too much in your area there. So we give them health education, and also I'm now also advising my nurses and midwife to give proper treatment to them.
Madit says the main reason many children are succumbing to malaria is ignorance from their caregivers who do not bring the children to the hospital early enough. He says some people prefer to take their children to traditional healers rather than bringing them to a hospital for treatment. Malaria accounts for 20 to 40% of all deaths, facility visits, 30% of all hospital admissions, and is a leading cause of death. According to the Malaria Consortium in South Sudan, malaria is leading cause of illness and deaths in children under the age of 5 in South Sudan. For VOA News, I am William Sande Mabur in Rumbek, Lagos State.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, European Union pledges to support Sudan's transformation to democracy. Find out how after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
can you forgive and forget?
It depends. Like, it depends on the situation or the fault that you did for me. Sometimes I forgive and forget. Other times I can't forget. I forgive, but I can't forget.
Yes, of course I forgive and I forget. First of all, if I forgive, my mind becomes clear to each and everything.
Of course I can forgive and forget. Reason being, there are very many people who harm us, but we shouldn't always keep it at heart.
Forgiving helps because sometimes we overlook some other things, because if, for instance, I do not forgive and forget, then what if the same applies to me?
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. The European Union says it will support the Sudanese transitional government to build a democratic system in the country. The EU ambassador to South Sudan says the European Union will continue to support the government's effort to reform the economy and promote equal rights for women. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
Speaking to reporters shortly after meeting with the head of Sudan Sovereign Council, General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, on Tuesday, the European Union ambassador to Sudan, Robert van den Dol, said the EU fully supports Sudan's transitional government and praises its efforts towards building a democratic system of government. Ambassador van den Dol, who spoke on behalf of the EU countries' ambassadors, characterized his meeting with al-Burhan as constructive and friendly. The EU ambassador says he and al-Burhan also discussed progress made in implementing the peace deal, economic reforms, and the country's general security situation.
The meeting was held in a very constructive and friendly atmosphere. This kind of diplomacy has never been more important than today as we seek to support Sudan's democratic transition and also to help ease tensions in the Horn of Africa and expand cooperation across this region as we believe that Sudan's positive role is historic.
Ambassador van den Dol says the two discuss political developments in Sudan and the need for dialogue to form the constitutional and electoral commissions. He expressed the EU readiness to support any transparent political transition in Sudan that would lead to a civilian-led government at the end of the transitional period.
We also touched on the continued efforts exerted to contain the differences between the different political forces in Sudan to ensure the success of the transitional period. Once again, we underline the importance of the full implementation of the August 2019 constitutional document, including the installation of a transitional legislative council.
Van den Dol says al-Burhan briefed the EU delegation on the progress of implementing security arrangements as stipulated in the Juba Peace Agreement and the government's efforts to maintain order, strengthen security, impose the rule of law, and combat criminal activity. The ambassador reiterated the EU's commitment to support Sudan's transition to a democratic form of government.
We will also continue to support Sudan to reintegrate into the global economy, and we will definitely continue to support any genuine effort to build a peaceful democratic system for all Sudanese.
Van den Dol called on the government to speed up investigations in order to bring to justice the perpetrators of recent deadly intercommunal violence in Darfur and eastern Sudan. He says the EU would like to see that the citizens and revolutionaries who played a major role in ousting former President Omar al-Bashir and his administration are living peacefully and enjoying economic prosperity in their country.
The European Union and its member states will jointly stand by the Sudanese people who, through the Sudanese revolution, embarked upon the unique transformation of the country. We will stand by Sudan to achieve its goals for peace, freedom, and justice.
Ambassador van den Dol stressed the importance of the government to step up its efforts to protect civilians, including the protection of displaced persons. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
We love to hear your feedback about issues in our news. My colleague Nabil Biagio is ready with this week's listener comments. Over to you, Nabil Biagio.
Thank you, John. We heard from many of you about this week's coverage of developments, including South Sudan's opening of the reconstituted parliament. Isaac Tang Dak from Bantu Town writes, "The speech of President Salva Kiir during the opening of TNLA was really what we, the people of South Sudan, expected to see them implemented if they're there for the people they represent." Thanks Nabil Biagio and John Tanza for your time. Sebit Peter Inye says, "I don't know exactly whether these leaders are really South Sudanese nationals. If they're South Sudanese, they need to reduce the looting of citizens because the cries and tears of these citizens will follow. It's better to be looted by foreigners than nationals." Moses Manuel Deng from Juba, South Sudan writes, "Hello, South Sudan in Focus. The opening of the RTNLA parliament on Monday is a milestone in the process of our quest as South Sudanese to achieve peace. I listened to the president's speech on his policy statement, but my doubt is whether all that he stated in his speech will materialize. We as citizens need tangible development, especially on infrastructure. Our president should follow up to see that all his plans for the nation are implemented. The speech was so promising, but they will let him down on implementing his policies in the transitional period. God bless South Sudan." Malwalda Machok from Juba says, Hello, John Tanza and Nabil Biagio. As a concerned citizen, I'm requesting our lawmakers to prioritize the needs of citizens instead of their individual needs, although they are not elected by the citizens, because I know the majority will serve the interests of their political parties who nominated them to the August House. They should make sure that this transitional period will elapse and the real period is coming ahead. Utilize this opportunity to serve the local population. Wani Maig Elias from Lanya County in Central Equatoria State writes, I am very disappointed with what the President of the Republic of South Sudan has done concerning his pullout from the peace talks with holdout groups. If the President has love for his citizens, then as citizens we appeal to the President to continue engaging in peace talks with the holdouts to bring total peace. Maker Mayor Achek from Lake State Ural East County Adyor Payam writes, Calm has returned in Lake State after appointment of Honorable Governor General Rin Twain Mabor by tracking down murderers and cattle thieves or raiders. I hope that the same rule of law will also include government officials who tirelessly embezzled our funds without accountability, which has led to our country becoming poorer than before. Loongo Alex Taban Kiliopas in the Bidibidi Refugee Settlement says, Years come and go. Really, what will be the solution for lasting peace? Why is mediation difficult to the international community? South Sudanese are dying, assaulted and starving with famine and poverty, more in refugee camps. Please do something much better, IGAD member states. Thanks, John Tanza. God bless you. Hamis from the Bidibidi Settlement writes, I was shocked by the government of South Sudan for charging innocent traders 150,000 SSP who failed to open their shops on August 30. This clearly tells us that South Sudan becomes a failed state and telling lies to the public for the Minister of Cabinet Affairs and the Minister of Information are the greatest liars of South Sudan government and they don't deserve to be in those ministries. Mading Malwal Alwong from Malakal Town says, My message to all South Sudanese people is don't listen to those who are mobilizing to demonstrate. Most of them have dual citizenships. They are citizens of two countries at the same time. If worse come to worst, they will rush to their other embassies. What about you, the ordinary person? Charles from Mvipi County in Uganda writes, I'm grateful for updating us every day about our country. I would like to urge the people of South Sudan to all raise their voices to God, not man, and there will be peace. Jacob Dior Machweng from Euro Lake State says, Hello John Tanza and Nabil, thanks for your coverage across Africa and South Sudan in particular. I'm happy for the progress being made in Rwanda by the South Sudan basketball team. Head coach Lual Deng is a gift from God. At least we will have good name globally when it comes to sports compared to how we lost the image politically. We hope you will bring the trophy home for the first time in history for this nation. James Ray Majok from Unity State Bantu Town writes, I am appealing to all South Sudanese citizens across the country. It's better for us not to demonstrate at this time while the revitalized peace agreement implementation is ongoing between the warring parties. It's better for us to call on the international community to put more pressure on the parties who are signatories to the agreement instead of making demonstrations. Taze John Lino from Juba says, I am warning those of you who are in the diaspora to stop confusing us here in South Sudan because you guys are there enjoying, your kids are learning and you want us here to be in problems again. Please, enough is enough. Wilson Mayor in Juba writes, What had happened on Monday the 30th of last month tells us that the corrupt government does not and will never allow the people of South Sudan to exercise their constitutional rights. How come the government prevented peaceful demonstrations in Juba? Peaceful demonstrations shall take place one day when people power prevails. Guy Malieth Bilio from Ethiopia says, Hello VOA. I think South Sudan is one nation where there are many opposition parties formed inside the country and they have their own objectives. I don't know why they formed those parties and I think they're just playing the lives of generation, but our Almighty God is present and thanks VOA. Peter Goch Anyang Majongdul in Block 3 Bo writes, For unity of the church, I urge the clergy to solve their differences amicably to avoid disunity of the church, especially among the Christians who may be divided along the lines of those they support. Stephen Musema Julius Ilia in Yumbe Town says, How can church people battle because of minor issues and wanted the world to solve its issues? What a shame to you, South Sudan's leaders in church and government are after money, not leading people. Martin Manuel Wugol in Uganda writes, after just concluded conference in Rumbek, I became a happy man because relative peace returned to Lake State, home to all South Sudanese people during the war of struggle because it was reduced to a land of fear and lawlessness. Very big thanks to Governor General Ring Mabor for restoring glory back to Lake State. Congratulations. Julius Berenge Casmiro from Yoyo 3 says, thanks for the show. My advice to the South Sudan government is that they should open their eyes because today is protest, then tomorrow will be fighting. So when the fire starts burning, pour some water on it. Saber Isaac Hamiz in Yambia Western Equatoria State writes, allow me to appeal to the national government of South Sudan to urgently stabilize the security of the entire Greater Tumbura County and also support with humanitarian food assistance and shelter to the millions of people displaced by the ongoing ethnic killings taking place in Greater Tumbura County. These comments do not reflect the views of VOA or of this program. We appreciate hearing from all of you. Keep those comments coming.
Thanks, Nabil, and keep those comments coming. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. We reserve the right to read brief comments every Friday. That's all we prepared for you this week. We now leave you with Emmanuel Kembe and the song Kifaya.
Korodukale pita munude ya Kalina gezi musawa Korodukal kabiru hilu Vitamin katiru fifoku Kalina gezi musawa Beadala Abiye danyar kuta junub Vishamal barakazal Ablev river kir Will be free to Igat, thanks to Machakos, thanks to Nakuru, thanks to Nyanyuki, Shukuran Jazila Leni Basha, Lakin Nyakama Bizip Mashakil, Mashakil Bijip Mutukatir, Umutukatir Kusara, Kusara Lena. Kamsinin kifaya 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 ya Bwana kifaya ala ninashuku. God bless our leaders, kifaya, give them more wisdom, kifaya ya Bwana, lead us to our destination, and bless everyone who helped put it together to let the sun shine bright in Sudan. Gerib, sita sana gerib, gerib, sita sana gerib, gerib. Korodukale pita munude ye, korodukale pita munude ya, kalina gezi musawa.
We have been listening to Emmanuel Kembe and the song Kifaya. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for allowing us into your homes, phones, and vehicles. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Fire, 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 fire. trouble comes in.